Welcome back to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. New England isn't exactly a major earthquake hotspot, but we do get small earthquakes every year. A magnitude 2.7 rattled New Hampshire and parts of Massachusetts just back in mid-February. But in 1755, a much larger quake struck the area. The Cape Ann earthquake, as it's called, has been estimated between a 6 and a 6.3 on the Richter scale. It damaged buildings in Boston and was felt as far away as South Carolina. One account from the time reads, "The bed on which I lay was now tossed from side to side. The whole house was prodigiously agitated. The windows rattled, the beams cracked, as if all would presently be shaken to pieces." Well, now researchers say they've found evidence of that earthquake at the bottom of Sluice Pond in Lynn, Massachusetts, and they say their technique might provide a way to figure out how frequently such large earthquakes have hit New England and whether we're due for another. Katrine Monica is assistant professor of geosciences at Wellesley College and lead author of that study. Katrine, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
What kind of signature does an earthquake leave in the mud at the bottom of a pond?
Well, so the signature is not so obvious, but what we noticed when we took sediment cores from the lake bottom, we noticed a layer that is quite different than the sediments that are deposited below and above it. And even though the difference is not obvious at first, when we analyze the minerals and the organic component and the chemical signature, then we really see the difference. And we think that this layer was deposited basically during ground shaking from the 1755 earthquake.
What would cause a new and different layer of mud to be laid down at the bottom of a pond during an earthquake, though?
So this lake, Sluice Pond, has really steep sides. And what we think what happens during ground shaking is that these steep sides become unstable and that the material slides basically into the center of the lake. And it has a distinctly different signature than the sediment that is usually deposited in the center of the lake.
Does this record and being able to find the earthquake of 1755 in this sediment record, does that tell us anything new about the earthquake itself?
Not necessarily right now. So because we have quite a few historic description of that earthquake, and so we know a little bit about how the damage was distributed. From that, we can calculate what the magnitude is. And I think it adds maybe a little bit to the information on the earthquake, but I think the most important information is that we can find traces of earthquakes in lake sediments here.
So that means we could go back through these sediment records, dig deeper down below the bottom of the pond maybe, and find evidence of other earthquakes?
That's right. So with the information that we collected now, we basically know now how what traces an earthquake can leave in the sediment record. And now these lakes, they basically formed when the glaciers from the last ice age left the area. And so the sediment record is more than 10,000 years old in these lakes. And if we take a sediment core that long, we could find older earthquake horizons and then determine the frequency of large earthquakes in this area.
Do we have any idea what that frequency might be? Are we talking every few hundred years, every few thousand years?
I would say it's more the latter. So it's probably in the order of many centuries to maybe a few millennia that we can expect large earthquakes here.
So we're not necessarily overdue for one. We shouldn't be worried about another 6.0 earthquake in New England anytime soon.
No, so I would not expect that this would be every few hundred years or so.
Will you be looking more deeply into this one pond, Sluice Pond? Is there something special about it, or going to other lakes around New England to look for other earthquake records?
So Sluice Pond was a very suitable candidate for these types of investigations because it was so close to the historically reported epicenter, which was somewhere offshore Cape Ann. And so it experienced significant ground shaking. And therefore, basically, we could see this destabilization of the lake slopes. And that makes it a very good candidate for our investigations. But we are looking also at another pond, Walden Pond. That lake got a little less ground shaking in 1755, but it is the deepest lake in eastern Massachusetts, and so it probably has a very nice undisturbed record too. And we are hoping that we find maybe 1755 in that lake too, but we know of other strong historic earthquakes in the area, and so we might find traces of maybe the 1638 earthquake that happened probably in southern New Hampshire and also affected this area here.
So that's then two earthquakes within about 100 years of each other. How strong was the 1638?
And so, of course, the historical record is not as strong as what we have for the 1755 earthquake. But from the limited information of damage during that earthquake, it might have been even a little stronger than the 1755 earthquake. So it's probably in the order of maybe a 6.5. These are our best estimates right now.
So two really strong earthquakes within about 100 years of each other. What would have caused that? And for that matter, I mean, where's the fault line that causes these earthquakes in New England?
Yeah, so that is a little bit the problem when you are studying earthquakes within plates that occur within plates and not along a plate boundary. So we don't have evidence of the fault lines here. First of all, the earthquakes are so they are not strong enough to cause surface deformation, so we wouldn't necessarily see the fault line. And then it is probably also covered up by glacier deposits in this area. So so it's very unlikely that we will find the actual fault line where the earthquake occurred. We only have these secondary features, like the deformation of lake sediments, that tell us that an earthquake has happened.
So we don't actually fully understand what causes these earthquakes. We don't know how often they happen. And prior to a few hundred years ago, we don't have written records of them. And we've got, hundreds or thousands of different ponds or lakes that you might go looking for evidence of. This is starting to sound a little bit like a search for a needle in a haystack. Does that bother you at all?
Yeah, it is true. We basically right now we go to areas where we know that historic earthquakes have happened, and it might be that in other areas along the east coast of the United States that you have other strong earthquakes in those areas. We know, for example, further to the south in the Carolinas that there was a strong earthquake. I think this is our starting point, where basically we go to these areas where we have some historic record, and then we try to figure out what is the frequencies, what are the frequencies of these types of earthquakes in that area.
Well, when you figure that out, please do let us know. Katrine Monica is Assistant Professor of Geosciences at Wellesley College. Katrine, thank you so much.
Thank you.